this whole book, and we're going to read the last little bit of this book. And then Easter, for Easter, I'm going to talk about the and when it'll be important that you ask people, because actually, this is going to be recorded. But anyway, it's important when you ask people, because we want to talk about the power of community next week. We're going to talk about the resurrection, but we're also going to talk about the power of community, being part of a local church, and the power of friendships, and the power of that Jesus came and he rescued us, but he also rescued us to create a community of believers and to help us to walk together in this thing. Amen? Jesus didn't do it alone, and neither should we. So we're going to talk a little bit about that next week, as far as and incorporate the resurrection and all that. It's going to be a really good week. And then the following week, I got some things kind of stirring. I haven't really got it all molded together to give you an idea, but I'm the things that I feel like God's putting in me are pretty exciting, I think. So that's going to be. But for today, we are going to finish up with the book of Ephesians, and this has been a great study for me to go through. So I don't know if it's helped you at all, but it's helped me. So that's the most important thing. It helped me. No, I'm just kidding. But we are going to talk about the Ephesians. So the first part of the book of Ephesians, we talked about who you are, right? We talked about the in him scriptures of the first part of Ephesians. We talked about how the book of Ephesians is broken down into two halves, right? The first part talks about all who you are in Christ and what that means that Jesus came, and what does it mean that you've been created a new creation, how that all affects you. And then we talked about the second half is about what we are to do now that we know our position in him. And so it's the old, right, who are you, and now what do we do with what we've been given? And so we talked about see to it that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time for the days of evil. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, and then we talked about mutual submission last week with husbands and wives and employees, employers, and children. And we talked about how, yes, there is order. There is order in every area of our lives, and there is proper order, but there is mutual submission that we do out of an act of love and in a mindset of humility and a mindset of, when you mutually submit, it says submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, but before it talks about anything about husbands or wives submitting to their husbands or husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. So it talks about the idea of that is that we honor other people. We submit to other people. We put ourselves under. It's a principle throughout the New Testament, is honoring other people above yourself and not just looking to your own needs, but the needs of others. And so we talked about that. Man, we walked a tightrope last week. And but this week, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. This is a favorite portion of Scripture for a lot of people. And we're going to delve into this right now. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Let's go there. It says, finally. That's finally. So this is the last message of this series. So finally, be strong in the Lord. And the power of and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. And Paul says this, pray for me also, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And then it goes through some personal things here. Ty, the dear brother and faithful servant of the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and a love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Here we go. Finally, he says. Finally, so having said all that he said, having said, talked about all the things that we are in him, having said all the things that what we're supposed to do with those things that we have in him, he broke down some how we're to relate to other people. He says, finally, let me tell you this. Having said all of that, let me encompass that by saying this. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And his mighty power. Now, if he says to you and me, be strong in the Lord, that means then that there's a battle that's going to rage. That there are going to be some tough times. There's going to be difficulties that hit you. You know, Jesus never said, he said, in this world, you will have difficulties, right? In this life, you'll have difficulties. He says, but don't be afraid because I've overcome the world. But don't be mistaken. We're not in heaven yet. This is not the end of our story. Some of us, we go through our lives and all of a sudden the things hit your life and you just go, man, where is Jesus? Like, where is all this promise of good? Where is all this stuff? Where is all this promise of life? And we experience it on a good level. We don't even experience it on a high level. But Jesus said, I came to give you life. But yet we have this battle that rages against us. Our hearts long for Eden. We were made for Eden. We weren't made for this that we live in. And you don't have to look too hard. No matter which station, news stations you listen to look at our world, and our world is desperately in need of some goodness. Desperately in need of some unity. Desperately in need of some God. Right? And our hearts yearn for it because our hearts were made for Eden. They yearn for it because our hearts were made for the presence of God. We were made for Him. Right? But that's not our story. That's not the story that we're at. A lot of things have happened since we are here, sitting here today on this Sunday, rainy Sunday morning, right? So God says, through Paul, he says, be strong. Be strong. Only because there's going to be some opposition against you. So I didn't tell him I was going to do this, but I'm going to ask my brother-in-law to come up here. Bill, come up here. Where are you? Come up here, Bill. This is Bill. We affectionately call him Tiny. So Bill is trying to get to, what's that? What'd you say? Don't beat me up. See, you know what? A couple weeks ago, I almost got myself into this trouble before, if y'all remember, with some, you know, a football analogy, right? So Bill is, this hurts me to say it. Like, now that I have to say it, it hurts me to say it, because me and Bill are very competitive type people.
I win.
So Bill, he's bigger than me.
Say that again for me.
He's bigger than me. But I am on the inside. I'm 10 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. So, but you know what? The truth is, if I wanted, this is so humbling. Man, this analogy is not like, not all of a sudden that he's here, and I know our competition. We had this thing where we played Yahtzee. And oh my gosh, every year at Christmas or Thanksgiving, we would play Yahtzee, and he would like kick my butt. It made me so mad, like every year. And then I win, and what does a good competitive person say? I let you win. Like, oh, really? Like, are you serious? Yeah, we stopped playing. It was messing with our relationship. So, but in order for me, right, God says this, be strong in the Lord, right? Because the truth is, and I bring him up here and humble myself for this example. Listen, in life, he says not just be strong in your own strength. Be strong in the Lord. Why is that? Because it's me against Bill. And seriously, now watch, if I try to move him, it's so humbling. But it's good. I'm unable. This is horrible. This is a terrible example. But seriously, if he puts his weight and his strength in me, right? Because he's worked out and all this stuff and he's a little, you know, he does, and it's, you know, he's got a problem or something. Or so it's a social problem. We're working on Bill, okay? So but he has self-esteem issues. No, it's So if I try to move him, he puts his strength in him because he's worked out, because he's stronger. He's stronger than me. So he can withstand, right? So I can't move him in my own strength. I need something else to help me move him. Like half the men in this church, evidently, you know, right? So I need help. Listen, so when you go through your battles, you can't fight them alone. Your problems and your issues are bigger than you. He says, be strong in the Lord, and not in your own power, but in the power of his might, right? Because your opposition, the devil, is stronger.
Can we talk a minute?
Oh, no, go sit down. So, because the enemy, the devil.
Enemy.
I'm just kidding. The devil is stronger than you, right? And he's been doing it longer than you. Yeah. Amen? All right, thank you, Bill. You can go sit down. Thank you. Give him a hand as he goes sit down. But you know what? The truth is, guys, listen. The truth is the same humility that it took for me to admit some terrible things about Bill that I had to admit about myself is the same thing you're going to have to admit about yourself when you face your enemy. God says, be strong, not in your own strength, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because you are no match for your enemy on your own. It's not by physical force. This is not a physics thing. He says, be strong in the Lord. With the pressure that is on you from an opposing force, it has to be matched with greater force on the other side. Amen? So be strong in the Lord. The strength you need is more than you can handle on your own. But do you know what the good thing is? If God asks you to do that, that means the power is available. The power is available for you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that you will be able to stand when the enemy comes in, right? When you have all that stuff fighting you. He says, put on the armor of God so you'll be able to withstand. And then he goes on and says, let's look at that scripture again, if you could, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We'll go here. Then it says that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realm. Why does he say, if you could leave that up there, why does he say our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rule, and it goes through? Because the temptation is that you won't see the real battle that you're fighting. The temptation is, it's true, right? The immediate temptation is, I'm not battling a spiritual force, I'm battling my boss. Or I'm battling my brother-in-law. No, or I'm battling, this is going to be an ongoing thing, Bill. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Our ongoing battle is not with the people around you. And let me even say this, let me take it another step forward. It is not even against you. Remember, you have flesh and blood. So many times it's, I'm a loser. If I was just better, then I could do it. If I was just this, then I could overcome. If I could just this, you point to yourself. Well, we love this scripture about other people go, yeah, it's not against flesh and blood, you know, but it's your flesh and blood. This battle is not against you. You're not fighting the person that you stare at in the mirror or that you look at on a daily basis or that wayward kid or that person that you love or your marriage or whatever it is. Your battle is spiritual battle. And you're only going to beat these spiritual battles, you're only going to win these spiritual battles with a strength that comes from God. It comes from God. If I can just get you to understand one thing, and it's almost like this is the culmination of this whole book of Ephesians. He says, listen, all this stuff I've been trying to tell you and get to you, remember that your battle is spiritual battle. It's against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. We call them demons, the demonic. And notice, go back to verse 11. What are you battling? He says, put on the full armor of God that you'll be able to take a stand against the devil's schemes. Notice what you're battling is the schemes of the devil. That tells you a couple of things. It tells you that, first of all, it's a spiritual battle. Second of all, it tells you that the devil has schemes, plans. You know, when they play, I love football, so sorry, it is what it is. Like when they play football, what do they do? Like a week, they do a week during football season, the whole week, they're in film rooms. What are they doing? They're studying, right? They're studying the other team. They're studying their tendencies. They're studying how their offenses move, how their defenses are set up. And so what they do is then they set up their own scheme, their own game plan to battle that. The devil has schemes against you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows them. You know those ones that you just maybe even just thought of just right then? He knows them. And the crazy thing about our enemy, he's more like a terrorist than he is like, you know, World War II, World War I types of, when there was rules of engagement, right? There is no rules of engagement with him. There is no, it's not, you know, when you play sports, it is no, if the guy's limping, it's not okay. Like a couple of years back, there was a team that got in trouble because they went after the injuries of the other players, right? Right? If the quarterback had a knee injury, what would those defensive guys do? To go for the knee, take him out. And they were actually fined by the NFL. They were put on, they got draft choices taken away from them and all kind of stuff. They were punished. But you know what? That's exactly the way the enemy does. He goes for your weakness because for him, there is no rules of engagement. He didn't care. He didn't care if you're old. He didn't care if you're young. He doesn't care. Who's behind all these school shootings? his schemes. The devil's schemes. What's going on in our culture? What's going on in our world? What's going on with our political system? What's going on with the people of our country? Why is so many people? Because he has schemes. He has plans against us. Because remember, his mission statement is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And listen, and we are in that battle. Here's the hard part. Whether we want to be in the battle or we don't. Why do I have all these thoughts? Why do I have all this stuff that float around in my head? What keeps me from being really the person that God's called me to be? It's the devil and his schemes. That's why God says, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. You know, because for too long, what we have just done is we just kind of have this defensive posture against the enemy. We just have this kind of, well, if I just go to church, then somehow the devil will leave me alone. Or if I just do whatever spiritual discipline that you send, well, the devil will just leave me alone. Or I'll just be, man, you don't have to live too long to find out that ain't true. Just go ahead and step out and start serving God a little bit more. Go ahead and step out and say, I'm going to be more committed to the things of God. Go ahead and just say, you know, I'm going to start reaching out to my coworker. And all of a sudden, you and that same coworker God's put in your life to have, man, it's happened to me so many times. That same coworker that God's put in my life that I'm supposed to minister to and reach out to, all of a sudden, this conflict starts happening between me and that person. Why is that? The devil has schemes. Why is it that when you push forward in your marriage, all of a sudden there's a pushback? Why is it that when you're pushing yourself out of debt or you're taking yourself out of debt, your septic tank fails? Why is it that, a little personal here? Why is it whenever you move forward, all of a sudden the enemy pushes back? Because the devil has schemes. There are forces that we can't see. And if we try to take them on in our own strength, we'll fail. And then, if we choose not to enter the battle, we'll just be overrun. I went through a really, just a, back in, and I'll share this a little bit. I won't get too detailed, but there's some things that, like, there's things that came against me in my own personal life. And I remember distinctly. It was areas in my life that if I fought those things, I tried to fight them in the past and it never really worked. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I tried to push them back and I tried to, you know, and it was just like, just. And I remember my life kind of started pivoting on this one issue in my life. And I remember it was like either fight this thing with everything I had, or choose to just give up and just kind of live a nominal Christian life and blah, blah, blah. And I remember the battle is so real. The battle is so real. Because it was a lot easier to just give up and just be whatever. The plan of God is not that important, whatever. Because of the mystery of would I succeed if I really fought for it. But I chose to fight. I chose to fight. After a couple of days, I decided to fight. Because that battle is real. Like, how am I gonna really fight against something that I've never really beaten in my life? So I took that scripture seriously. And I was strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And thank God we're on the other side. Amen. But you have to stand firm. You have to stay strong. Be strong in the Lord. And he says, and then he talks about all the evil forces in heavenly realms, right? He says, therefore, since they're all there, therefore. He talked about this. He says, put on he talks about truth, right? He talks about, go to 13. Thank you. Put on the full armor of God that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. After you've ever done everything to stand, stand. Stand firm. There's a lot in that portion of Scripture. I'm just going to go there real quick because that's really important. Actually, understand that there's no punctuation. Punctuation was added by the translators. It says, having done all to stand, stand. Do you understand? Do you understand? That there is a part that you play, and there's a part that God plays. If we don't do our part, remember, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right? But that comes from your part. Confession. Repentance. Right? The same way is true with here. Listen, if you're going to fight this battle, there's things that you're going to have to be involved with. Stand. Having done everything that you know to do to stand, there's a whole nother level of standing that's going to have to happen. But it's your part. You know, I mean, it's really, you can go down to the real simple parts of, you know, are you a good employee at your job? And you're asking God for increase. All right, having done everything to stand, right? You have to do everything that you know to do to stand. And then stand. Amen? Having done everything to stand, if it's a relationship issue, have you done everything that you know to do to stand in your marriage? Have you done everything that you know to do to be a good husband, a good father? A good employee? Have you done everything that you know to do according to the Scriptures, to do what you got to do? Have you done everything that you know to do to stand? And guys, sometimes we miss it here before we ever get into spiritual warfare. Because we're not even really doing what God's asked us to do in that moment. Having done everything to stand, stand. Stand. What does it mean? That if it's a drinking issue, you got to make room to quit drinking. If it's a drug issue, I mean, my thing was, I had so many crazy friends whenever I was 20 or 21 years old, that I lost all of my friends. I had to. It was like the sacrifice in the beginning so that I could get to a place where I could stand on a solid ground. Because everybody that I knew was a part of my old lifestyle, and if I just went around and hang out with all those people, I would just get drawn right back in. I did everything I know to do to stand. And then I stood. So then it goes, he says, next scripture, stand firm with your belt of truth buckled around your waist. So I've heard a lot of people teach this whole scripture. And I'm sure if you've been a Christian a long time too, you've heard it. And they've gone through and they've talked about every one of these little individual pieces of the armor, right? And people have written books about the individual pieces of the armor, which is all good. I'm all about it. But a lot of these things, they kind of overlap with each other. They do. They kind of overlap. Like truth, right? Truth. The truth about what God says about you. It protects you, right? The belt of truth buckled around your waist. Right? Of the understanding of what the truth is. The truth is there is one God. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. The truth is that Jesus came and he loves you so much that he gave Jesus for you. That he gave himself, that we're going to talk about next week, on a cross for you so you could be saved and you could be redeemed back to God and be a child of God. That truth buckled around your waist. Right? And then he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. And so what is righteousness? Righteousness is one of those Christianese words that we all talk about, and sometimes we don't even really understand what it means, just righteousness, right? Well, is that right doing, right? Am I just, if I have a breastplate of righteousness, that I'm always doing what's right, and that's partially true? But I think in the context of what he's talking about, the breastplate of righteousness is simply this. Righteousness is who you are from God's perspective. Righteousness. Your position with God. Right? There's a house that I can go to. It's not my own house. But I can walk right into that house, right? I can go right into that house, and I can open up their refrigerator, and I can just open it up, and I can just take whatever I would want out of that refrigerator. It's not even my own house. I can open it up, and I know this person, so I had to push aside the buttermilk. Why buttermilk? Okay, and then get some of the things I want, like some good stuff. I'm thinking about what's in that person's refrigerator right now. I would have to look, apple juice, right? And like good stuff, like there wouldn't be any junk food in that refrigerator. So forget about that. But I could get whatever I would want. I can go in that refrigerator and I can get it. I could go into that living room. I could sit down and put on something on TV. And they're not even home. And you know what? They would be glad to see me. You know why? Because that's my mother-in-law, Mary Ann Pemberton. And the truth of the matter is that a lot of you could just do that, and she wouldn't be upset. She wouldn't be mad and go, oh, look, more people. She just loves, right? She just, isn't that true? Like, you just walk in and go, oh, I'm friends with David. And she'd go, oh, come on in, you're great. And it wouldn't she? It's so, so true. And that's Michelle. This is Michelle, my sister-in-law, Julie's sister. That's her mom. And she's just like that. But me, I'm her favorite brother-in-law. I'm her favorite son-in-law. I've told you it was all this whole time, Bill. I'm her favorite. So anytime I want, I could just show up. Yeah. I may not be able to be Mignazzi, but I am her favorite. That's because she's sweet and she's kind. But she lies. So, where am I at in this message? What am I even talking about? Oh, yeah, yeah. Righteousness. Do you know why? You know why? Because I can walk right into her house. You know why? Because I have a good position with my mother-in-law. My relationship is solid with her. You know what? That's the truth of the matter is this. Righteousness has to do with your position more than what you've done. It's who you are. God has made you righteous, no matter what you've done, no matter what you think about yourself, no matter what you think when you approach God. Like, righteousness is such a great, when I got the revelation of God, who I was in Christ, it changed everything. Yeah. Because what if you believed it? What if you believed God, the Creator, with all power, looked at you like a son or a daughter? And your relationship with him was not based on what you did and what you didn't do, but it was based on who you were in relationship to him. Yeah. And who I am in relationship with him is because I'm a son. Because I'm a son. I'm a son of God. The story of the prodigal, right? The prodigal, I mean, he'd spent every dime. He had wasted his father's inheritance. And yet when his father saw him running, he said, man, we got to celebrate. It's time to throw a party, right? Because my son is back. You may have squandered all of what God's given you. And you come back to God, and God says, let's throw a party because you're back. I don't care what you've done. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I love you a lot more. You parents, we understand this stuff. Because our babies can throw up all over us. And we go, I so love you. They can do that thing. And every parent in here, if you haven't had this experience, I know you were just so blessed, but we've all had that throw up in your mouth thing. You know, if you had a boy, they peed right in your mouth, and it's like, I still love you, right? It's like amazing. It's like amazing. Your love for your kid goes, that's a gross analogy, but your love for that kid is amazing, and I'm not going to put that on God and you, and you just take that however you want, but we have turned our face away from God. We have gone our own way, but when we come back to God and we say, God, through Jesus, I receive your redemption. And we can hold that like a breastplate of righteousness. What does it do? It covers your heart. It covers your organs. It covers your, especially your heart. Because God loves me. He's for me. It's the first thing you teach your kid, right? Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible. It tells me so. Little ones to him belong. I belong to God. In all of my junk. In all of my weaknesses. In all of my unfinished life. I'm his child. And I can wear it. And let me tell you something. You'll need it when the enemy comes in. You need it when the enemy lies to you about who you are. You need it when people betray you. You need that covering of your heart to know who you are. And your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I don't have time to go through all these. Go to the next scripture. In addition, take up the shield of faith, which will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. What are the flaming arrows of the evil one? His words, his lies. All those stuff that try to come against you. He said, take up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, right? Salvation, it goes back to kind of who you are. So I told you, some of these things are all kind of mixed in together and they're kind of mishmash of each other. But the helmet of salvation, I know that I am who I am saved. I am washed. I am completely through Christ. I am wholeheartedly. What's the word I'm looking for? Like holistically healed is what God says I am. That word salvation has actually a more holistic, I can use that word, holistic view of what God's done through you through Jesus, right? And the sword of the Spirit, finally, and all the men said, "Amen." Finally. An offensive weapon. Are you serious right now? Like, can we get to the offense, right? A sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I would not sin against him. Oh, there's so much to say, and I'm almost done. Take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Go to the next scripture. And and praying all the times in the Spirit with all prayers. And supplication to that end, and keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Keep it right there. Now, here's some things that we don't really talk about a lot, right? That we pray in the Spirit. What is that? Do we believe in praying in tongues around here? Yes, we do. But it's also praying Spirit-led prayers. Well, how is God leading you in your prayer life, right? With all prayer and all supplication. To this end, keep alert with all, there's that word, perseverance. With all perseverance. This is part of the battle, is that perseverance. Through those tough times, through knowing that God is with me and God is working in me. Don't quit. Strong people don't quit. Right? Strong people use the offensive weapon of the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the Scriptures about who you are. Man, use those Scriptures. Use them out of your mouth. Speak those words out of your mouth about what God says you are. I'll say it again. One of the greatest things that you can have in your possession is one of those God's Promises books. Because somebody's already done all the research for you. They've already opened it up and said, these are Scriptures about peace. You need peace? Here's some Scriptures about peace. I have Scriptures I put up on my in my bathroom window or a mirror. I put them on there to remind me, to keep that in there, to hide that word in my heart, to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Whatever I'm going through, if it's a financial deal, no. The Scripture says, God, you've given me abundance towards every good work. You say, David, how do you get those? How do you get all those Scriptures? Like, how do you just have them all in you? Because I've needed them. I wish I could just tell you that it's been great study and great. No, it's because I desperately need these things. And so I dive into the Word of God. Kenneth Hagin used to say it for years. Whatever you're going through, find Scriptures that match up to those things and speak them out of your mouth. Find those Scriptures. Let me tell you, if you're going through a financial issue, stop studying Revelations. Right? If you need financial breakthrough, stop. It's Job, not Job, okay? Like, if you need some... Really? Okay. Tough crowd. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. It's Job, not... Okay. All right. All right. Whatever. But what is God? What do you need from God? Dive into His Word. Find out what those promises are for you and claim those promises for yourself. You're not tricking God. I mean, people have said, well, you're tricking God into doing... No, you're not tricking God if God's already offered them for you freely. They have given you freely. He said, no, he says, bless the Lord, all my soul, remember all of His benefits. Remember all of His benefits. God has benefits for you. So all these things, and pray. Because I'm not big enough to push down the enemy. I'm not big enough. Neither are you. The warfare that comes against you and your family, the warfare that comes against you, and listen, in our culture, the only way we'll push them back is if we understand who our enemy is. And your enemy is not a political party. Your enemy is not a person. Your enemy is not... There is a scheme against our country. There is a scheme against our world. And understand, here's a God who's given humanity a free will. And says, I want you to love me freely. Because if God forced us to love Him, it wouldn't be real love. And God pours His love out on humanity. Because Jesus goes to the edge of Jerusalem and looks over Jerusalem and weeps. Guys, hear me. He looks over Jerusalem and weeps. You know what He doesn't do? Call them out on all their junk. The first reaction that Jesus has is compassion. Because that's, He says they're like people, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And God says, I wish that they would just come to me. Because you know why they don't? Because they're schemes. And we, as a body of believers, we can't half-heartedly do this thing. We have to understand the battle. We have to understand that we're in a battle. Because listen, when the battle comes, your first thought, because we're all human, right? Your first thought probably will not be, this is a spiritual attack. It'll probably be, if it wasn't for them, or if it wasn't for that person, or if it wasn't for this situation. Because really the battle has to do with inward stuff, right? A lot of times first. Be strong. Be strong. Pray. Go to church and read your Bible. We've been saying it since Jesus left, right? Pray. Go to church. Be built up and read your Bible. You know what happens when people who do that? They get strong. They start recognizing the schemes of the enemy. They start recognizing that when you and your spouse start fighting, that there's other forces at work besides this goofy argument that you're having. And the quicker we're able to recognize that in the heat of battle, the better off we'll be. I have so much more to say about this. Because let me just say this. I'm not closing well today. But let me say this. My wife and I have learned. One of the reasons my wife and I have a great relationship is we understand the battle that would come to divide us. And when we start arguing with each other, when we start fighting, we start getting, you know, we start getting in disagreements, or all of a sudden she does something and all of a sudden I'm highly more irritated than I usually am. Rick, it's true, Rick, right? It's true. And all of a sudden I get highly more irritated than, no, seriously. And all of a sudden you're not talking to each other. You're like, your words are short. Oh, am I talking to the wrong crowd? Because this doesn't happen to you. All of a sudden you get mad. Or even if it's a coworker, just all your married people, just look forward. Just stare straight ahead. And all of a sudden you realize that battle, but my wife and I, we've learned that there are outside forces opposed to our marriage. And we have learned that sometimes we just look at each other and go, you know what? The devil overplayed his hand. Because me and Julie, now we're coming together, and we're together fighting an enemy that's trying to go after our marriage. But we learned to recognize it. Guys, learn to recognize the battle. Learn to recognize that it's not just the other person, it's not just people, it's not just you, because you're a loser, because the enemy will try to speak all kind of garbage into your mind. Remember, he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. Let's all stand together. I think we're just going to have to, Jessica, we're just going to have our next spirit life just on spiritual warfare. Okay. That's probably what we're just going to have to do. So, amen. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. So, God, we look to you. We look to you, God, Jesus. You are our author and the finisher of our faith. Come on, just you and him. Just you and him. Maybe you're in here and you're just kind of, the realization is dropping about maybe some certain areas in your life, and you're going, that's not just what I thought it was. That's the enemy coming against me. Maybe this battle that I'm fighting is not my spouse or not my coworker or not my family or not my friends. Maybe this is a warfare being actually waged on me to cause maybe insecurities to come, to cause weakness to come. Paul said in another place, he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God, we thank you that you've seated us in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights. We thank you, God, that we are who you say we are. Our waist is girded with truth. Our hearts are protected with our right standing with God. We do take up the helmet of salvation, and we put it over our minds and over our thoughts, that I am a child of God. I am redeemed. And we do take up the shield of faith. With God, your word says will extinguish all the powers of the enemy and all the arrows that would try to hit us and come against us. And that we do take up the sword of the Spirit, God, because we've hidden that word in our heart. And God, we take it offensively. In Jesus' name. Just as an act, let me just say this with your heads bowed. I I would used to say this. I'd say, devil, I put you on notice. I recognize that it's your power that's working against me and not against anybody else. And I would, in those moments when I was battling for my life, for my family, for everything, I would tell the devil, I said, devil, you'll rue the day you ever messed with me. Because I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to know your schemes. I'm going to be closer to God than ever before. And I will lead more people out of bondage because of what you ever did to me. You'll wish you never messed with me. My marriage will be stronger. My relationships will be stronger. I'll be more effective as a believer. I'll be more of an accurate representative of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Because I know in whom I believed. I know who I am. So God, I look to you. And it's almost like that with your heads bowed. Just receive just that battle mentality. No, no, no. I refuse to battle this in the flesh anymore. I refuse to battle it just in arguments. And I refuse to battle it and in strives and in relationships. I'm going to first battle it in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. And then I'm going to persevere. And I'm going to wait patiently until I see results. God, we thank you. Just right where you're at, just want you to receive that abundance of grace. And I want you to just have a resolve on the inside of you that I choose to fight. I choose to fight for my family, my country, in prayer. I choose to fight for my relationships. I choose to fight for my own freedom, of my own insecurities. And God, I thank you for strength. Say, I am. Oh, say it like you mean it. You're in a battle. Say, I am who God says I am. I say, I can do what God says I can do. Say, I can stand against any plan of the enemy. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? Say, no matter how big the obstacle, my God is greater still. So I stand in the power of his might in Jesus' name. Say, I'm a victor, not a victim. I'm a victor in Jesus' name. Believe that this morning? You believe that this morning? So this week, man, when you fight, when you talk to people, and when you go through your everyday life, you see things differently. You see people who are broken, and you go, that's the enemy working in their lives. And what it'll do, it pours compassion on you for those people. Not pity, compassion. That you love people. You're drawn to people, and people are just broken because of the schemes of the enemy. Amen? This week, as you go, there'll be some people that you need to invite to church. And there'll be a spiritual battle waging over them for that deal. Can I just encourage you? Fight the battle for them. Amen? In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. If you need prayer for anything, we have some people in the front that will pray for you. God bless you guys. We love you. We will see y'all next Sunday on Easter Sunday. God bless, on Thursday night.